Joining me is Dr. Dalal Erekat, assistant professor of the Arab American University and a columnist with Al-Quds newspaper. Thank you for joining us at the Media Line. There have been a number of calls over the years for Palestinians to stop buying products from Israel, but the result of those exercises is usually a stark reminder that the two economies piggyback. Can the Palestinian economy ever improve?
I wish. We wish for the Palestinian economy to improve, but we have to bear in mind that occupation must end first.
Dr. Erekat, do you think that some of it is Israel's fault and some of it is the Palestinians' fault?
Well, as a Palestinian, as a conscious Palestinian, I do take some of the blame, and I think we have to work internally, and we have a lot to do internally. But still, I mean, the whole world, not only the Palestinians, cannot deny the fact that the occupation is the main factor in halting the Palestinian economic boom or economic advance.
How bad is the situation currently?
Well, unfortunately, and from a Palestinian living on the ground perspective, it is really bad. I mean, for the past 36 years of my life, we've been looking forward to a different, a better beginning, a better life for me when I was a kid and now for my kids. Unfortunately, it is really bad, and there is nothing clear or nothing predictable.
Can you give me statistics or data of where we are in 2019?
Yes, around 200 settlements are in the West Bank now. Around 700 settlers are living also in the West Bank. 25 years of negotiations since Oslo, the Israeli economy is truly booming, depending on the agreements and the Paris protocols that were signed. The Palestinian economy is very dependent on the Israeli one, and hence now we're very dependent on the Israeli market.
But in terms of the economy itself, the economy is not doing as well as it did several years ago in the Palestinian areas. So where is it at the moment?
It's really bad, but the fact that we are much more dependent on Israel, this is what I want to focus on here. For example, we export 85% of Israel's export goes to, we're very dependent on it.
We're speaking with Dr. Dalal Erekat, the assistant professor at Arab American University and a columnist at Al-Quds newspaper. We were speaking about the pension of the Palestinians and the demonstrations that have been going on, and I asked if there was a problem in terms of the people. Are they right in terms of not trusting the government right now? Are things a bit in chaos?
Well, the trust is not about the government only. There is a lack of trust in the government, in the Palestinian Authority in general, and in the whole political system. And to add to this, there is a lack of trust in the international community and the UN and all the international bodies that had promised us state sovereignty and human rights for the past 25 years.
Western nations, including the United States, have largely reduced, in some cases to nothing, their donations to the Palestinian Authority and give only to specific programs run by the United Nations or other countries. The reasons often sound noble, but what's the actual effect this policy has on the PA's ability to function?
Well, I think this is coercive diplomacy at its best. And I have to clarify that it is totally the right of each country to decide and determine what they want to allocate to different people. And for the government, it had been announced several times that they can carry on without the American administration help. Again, internally, we have to work better and to strategize better and to come up with creative solutions.
The Trump team has done a pretty good job of keeping details of the famous but still anonymous peace plan just that, anonymous. They're prompting some to doubt its existence, and others who claim to have peeked at it say that it's all about economic incentives for the future Palestinian state. Given what you said about the economy and the occupation, what would be the best thing you could hope to find when the plan is revealed?
Well, for the past 2 years, they have been talking about this plan, and yesterday there were some speculations in the Israeli media, and last night Greenblatt came out to deny all those speculations, and he had said on his Twitter account that very few people know about this plan, meaning himself, Jared Kushner, Friedman, and Donald Trump. I would say this is very shameful for the American administration after 2 years of talking about this plan, to brag about the fact that very few people know about it. This concerns the human rights of the Palestinian people who live on this land, the rights of the people to live peacefully on both sides. So it is time that if they do, and I'm not really sure about if they do have a plan, they should reveal it and put it forward. My own vision is that negotiations is a tool and it's not an end. So for the whole world, dealing with negotiations as a goal and as a that we something that we want to reach is not what we need right now. Again, there's the understanding has and this malpractice has to change. We should look at negotiations as a tool and not as the end. If we want things to get better, I mean, and if we want negotiations and the two parties to go back to the negotiating table, we should at least expect to stick to the reference, the basic international references of the peace process, which rely on UN Security Council resolutions and international law 242338, and our rights in full state sovereignty on the 67 border with Jerusalem and the refugees' rights.
Do you believe it's being held up to avoid embarrassing Prime Minister Netanyahu before the Israeli election?
I don't think he would never do that. No, they will not do that. They will wait until the election.
Do you think it would have made a difference if President Trump had selected a different group, a more varied group of negotiators to shepherd his deal of the century?
I mean, maybe. It's totally, from my point of view, it's very, again, it's like a real estate kind of, again, kind of work that four people in this whole world are working on this deal that has to do with millions of people and human rights of civilians living this conflict for the past 70 years. I mean, it's totally ridiculous and pathetic for the American administration to be dealing with such a very heightened, sensitive conflict in such a way.
Secretary of State Pompeo plans an international conference for February. Can it have any impact, especially before the election?
I mean, I'm not against international conferences and conventions, but from our experience, let's be realistic. I mean, it's nice to bring world leaders together, and it's nice to put money to help investing in this part of the world. But if there is no real will, there is no solid and like real practice on the ground, I mean, we want a more doable actions and not just bringing people together. I love diplomacy, and I'm a pro-diplomacy person, but we really want something on the ground. Why doesn't it happen here on this part of the world, instead of just taking the Palestinians and Israelis to different cities and different capitals?
Asked about Israeli elections, Palestinian leaders usually say it doesn't matter whom they elect, it's their choice. But does it matter?
I mean, when we say it doesn't matter, we mean we respect democracy and it's the call of the people. But of course it matters. I mean, when it's a very, very right government, very extreme, it is different than having a leftist who you could at least talk to. Not a big deal in terms of, you know, the strategic goals of Israel. Every party in Israel will do their job in serving the interests and the strategic goals of their state. And this is acceptable and this is understandable. But of course, it would different when we deal with different ideologies.
Some people might differ and say that it actually is the right-wing governments that have actually yielded things in the past.
It's just because they're very blunt, if I may call it, and they're very aggressive. I disagree, because it's true they're very straight in terms of their extreme policies and their violence against Palestinians. And take the nation state bill, the latest nation state bill. This is totally, it should be totally unacceptable in the whole world, according to international law. This is racism at its best. I mean, the left government, I doubt if the left government would have proposed such a thing. But again, I don't see that this generalization is true about the right is better or the no, I disagree. Because, you know, when you deal with leftist minds, at least, as I said, you could talk to them, you could reach a common ground with them, and I would opt for that.
We've been speaking with Dr. Dalal Arakat, the assistant professor at Arab American University and a columnist at Al-Quds newspaper. Thank you for joining us at the Media Line and for taking time.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.